Evening. I'm Corrine McCabe, also known as Kay, and I am hosting the call tonight for Real Women Across America. We are a company that has a foundation and mission to build lifelong friendships with women across the globe. We will be bringing you hot topics each night, and we are always on the lookout for new topics. Follow us on Facebook at Real Girlfriends Across America and head to our website, realgirlfriends.org. Now, tonight, I have on the call with me Corrine, Tawanda, and a host of other girlfriends. And tonight, we have with us contributing author for Real Girlfriends of America, Stephanie August. Will you please introduce yourself to us and tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started?
I certainly will, and thank you very much for having me on your podcast this evening. Hello, girlfriends across America and throughout the globe. My name is Stephanie August. I am an author and musician, and have been writing for many years and found a link to Real Girlfriends Across America, and here I am this evening speaking with you. I'm very happy
That's
to do
wonderful.
So.
That's wonderful. So we're going to get started, and I just want to ask you a couple questions, and then we'll also open up the floor for the other girlfriends on the line to ask questions as well. And so
wonderful.
Why don't you tell us, when did you first decide to start writing?
I started writing professionally in 2008 as a means of supporting myself when I became disabled and had to quit my serious endeavors in music. And I taught myself how to write and edit academic papers for students as a means of making some money as I waited for my disability income to be approved. So that's when I started writing professionally. But I've been writing since I was a little girl, plays and stories and songs, and I'm in my head all day with creative ideas because it's part of who I am. It's a large part of who I am.
So when you first started professionally, what was the genre that you focused on?
The genre I started professionally with for making an income was academic papers, but I had been writing plays. And I had been writing songs for many years and performing those plays and songs in various small venues across the country as a singer and an actress. And when I became disabled with a spinal injury, I wasn't as able to go into theater work as I had enjoyed and had to kind of figure out another way to make a living as a creative person. So I had a demand of the language and understanding of grammar, and having gone through college and 2 years of grad school, I figured, let me see if I can parlay my writing into doing academic papers, and it was quite lucrative at the beginning. Now it's slowed down a little bit in that part of my writing because there's a lot of services, private services, that offer a different type of writing, and my rates have to stay under are for my being able to write for students. But I'm still writing, doing copywriting, blogging, article writing, assisting other authors in putting their work together through my website. I have an online company called Stephanie August Creative, and I help other develop work.
Okay. So would you mentioned going to college for or to a university. Was your educational background in writing, or were you an English major?
No, it wasn't. No, my parents had studied English, and my mother had actually wanted me to go to Barnard to study English, and I chose to study music instead because it just seemed more natural to me at the time. And I have a bachelor's degree, an honors bachelor's degree from the University of Bridgeport in Connecticut. And I spent 2 years at Golden Gate University in San Francisco studying finance. I wanted to parlay that my creative work into helping nonprofits and small arts groups learn how to raise money and invest their money for the long term. And again, when I became disabled, I wasn't able to complete that. So I started the writing business, and here I am.
So you mentioned that you wrote songs and you were into a little bit of the music business. Do you want to know a bit about that?
Sure. I had been performing in New York City starting from age 18 and did a lot of club work in New York, Massachusetts, Florida, Provincetown, Massachusetts, and all points around the country as a band leader, and mostly doing jazz and writing my original material, and sometimes doing session work in the studio for other producers' projects, singing lead or singing the backup or helping them to arrange their projects. And my last project lasted for 6 years, and I recorded 4 CDs with a wonderful bass player whom I no longer work with. But we had a very good following in Oregon, and we were starting to make headway going out into the larger market. And we were, in fact, getting ready to go to Europe when, you know, things changed in the political scene, and my partner at the time decided he didn't want to leave the country, and our music kind of went in a different direction. And I had to kind of keep going with my creative work, so that kind of led me into a more of a full-time writing opportunity.
Okay. So what is your current book about?
Well, I have several things finished. My current book that I've most recently published is a book called Becoming Virtually Adept in the Digital World, and that's the excerpts that are on your site. And it's a book on how to use social media to build one's business, how to present oneself to clients, best practices for using social media and the like. And I do appreciate you posting those excerpts on your site. It's for hire, meaning that a publisher relationship with several publishers. This particular book, once I wrote it, was sold to another publishing company, and they allowed me to keep my name on it as the artist. Actually, my first published work by a publishing company versus a self-piece. This was exciting for me and a good place for me to be in my career of 2008. It's 2020. So in many years of, you know, trying to get my work out there and finding the right people to work with. And I'm grateful that I've had the opportunities to date that I've had.
Mm-hmm. What is your next project?
I am attempting to complete part two of a novel, and it's called Katz, K-A-T-Z, Against Pavlov. It's kind of a turn of phrase. It's about a wealthy banker who realizes he doesn't want to be part of the 1% elite, and he meets a homeless man, and they travel the country together on foot. And seeing how the American class system has left many people live on the edge, the banker realizes that he must give his wealth away in order to free himself of the trappings of his life. And in doing so, he becomes a more authentic person and the person he's truly supposed to become.
Mm-hmm. What
and real friendship.
What started the idea for this book?
I've been an advocate for homeless people for many years. And when I was a teenager in New York, in the mid-70s, a lot of men and women were coming back from Vietnam. And they were unfortunately left behind by the system. And I discovered that it was part of my nature to go out and try to find resources for people living on the street, particularly men, soldiers who had, you know, no support at that time from people who didn't really understand what Vietnam was about. And then I had worked on Wall Street briefly for a company as receptionist, and wanted to work in finance and not really getting to it until I was age 50. I thought that it would be a compelling look at how we have, and continue in America particularly, forget about people who serve our country and forget about the middle class and forget about the lower middle class and the poor. We continually are moving on an upward trajectory to have more where many people have less. So this was part of the reason I felt compelled to write this novel. And I like the turn of phrase, Cats Against Pavlov. The main character's name is Charles Darwin Katz. And just the thinking about, you know, we are a country and how we use money as a tool for... money has become so inaccessible to so many people that I wanted to write about someone who was middle class, had made his rise to wealth and fame, was about to, you know, get it all, and then decides it's not worth it because there are more important things in life than money. So that's what really influenced the project.
Okay. Was your writing influenced by someone that you actually knew or someone that you met?
I think I'm most influenced by the people around me and by the human condition in general. And Cats Against Pavlov is about many people I've met in Wall Street and in my life who are struggling to make the almighty dollar. And there was a time in my life when I certainly, you know, younger and wanted to, you know, be a player and be out there and make money and, you know, live the fast life. But I came to a realization at an early age that there are much more important things than chasing that dream. And really, we're here to serve each other. And I felt the best way I could serve at this point in my life, nearing 60, is that I could work about the condition, the human condition, and because there are so many stories worth telling. And I wish I could go to war camps and write the stories of those who have lost everything to war, especially children. And we're in a time in our lives with the Black Lives Matters movement and DACA and other things happening in America where writers and musicians and creative people in general have to raise their voice in the right way and, you know, speak truth to power and tell stories about people who really have lost and gained having this.
So when you talk about writing and actually getting the writing done, I know so many authors and so many writers, including myself, sometimes find it difficult to just make the space of time if there are things that are blocking their schedule. So what is your schedule like when you're writing?
Well, since I use writing partly for business and partly for pleasure, I do keep it very work oriented. For example, I get up very early, I browse writing job online and begin working. In my writing career, I have several clients that do contract as they need me, so I don't have to work so hard in culling through the ads. But I'm always interested in seeing what's out there and if I can, you know, find something interesting. I do keep myself on a 9-to-5 schedule with breaks in between, and I do try to carve out time for my personal creative work. And the reason I have to do that is because I can get very focused on somebody else's writing needs and put my own writing on back burner. I finally balance 50% of clients and the rest is my writing my personal.
Okay.
I treat it like a job. And
okay.
When you treat your writing work like a job, you're more inclined to make that time.
So that makes a lot of sense. Like, the next question that I was going to ask you is, how do you stay focused on writing? So one of your sources is that you treat it like a job. Have you ever gotten distracted and while you were writing? And if so, how do you handle distractions while writing?
If I get distracted, I know that my brain is tired or it's time for me to refocus. So that's when I close my computer and I enjoy classic movies. I can watch classic movies all day if I had, you know, not, if I didn't have my writing, that's probably what I'd be, you know, watching movies and relaxing as a semi-retiree, but I prefer to sit up and write instead of watch movies all day. But when I am losing focus, I'll watch a movie, I'll go take a swim, I'll read a good book, or I'll call a close friend for a chat, and that kind of re-energizes me. If I have a little writer's block, I take it off and I don't work, because can overdo it if you're always active mentally with your writing work. And most of us creatives, I'm sure you're like this yourself and the ladies that are online, focused on the next creative event. And we're always planning. Mm-hmm. We're always thinking about, you know, what it is that we'd like to achieve in the creative work. And unless I keep a list, I keep a list of things that I'd like to accomplish on a daily basis. I keep files of written pieces of paper with ideas for different projects. So I'm, my goals are to at least two full writing projects a year, because it's a lot of work to do one book, let alone two, outside of my regular client work. So you know, I force myself, push myself to in that way.
Really awesome. So it looks like those the next question actually was going to be, do you set goals for your writing? So you do set goals. So in addition to the two books a year that you set the goal for yourself to write along with your client work, what other types of goals do you set?
I try to set goals work that allow me to learn about the business, because the business, our writing business, changes rapidly. How we promote ourselves, pitch to publishers, how we write query letters, attempting to review new PR and marketing techniques, like as a solo author, get my work out into the public. And I have a goal every day of writing a special file that I have on my computer that's full of those articles. And I try to structure my writing around new ideas and new processes that are being presented to me from other writers who are more focused on the PR and marketing side of the business. Other goals that I try to set up are to go through my files of book ideas. I'm also a screenwriter and a playwright, so I'm terribly confined to 6 books where I'm constantly writing down ideas and trying to put them in orderly fashion so I can
Hello?
The screen. Yeah, you're there? Hi.
Sorry, you were breaking up a little bit. Can you repeat that?
That's okay. Yes. I write my ideas down on paper, and I then they come to me a title and an idea as to how that might fit into a body of work. Go through my files and I'll organize that so I to at point into its proper form, whether that's a book, screenplay, or a blog, or articles. And I also have goals to pitch my work every day to at least one publisher. And I've been able to do that with a website. There's a good writer out there. There's a website called Query, Q-U-E-R-Y, tracker.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you a free list of agents and publishers to accept unsolicited work. $1 a year. So I have about 3,000 leads for free. And that helps me focus on a goal. Oh, yeah, I'm going to pitch today. So those are some goals that I have to achieve.
Okay. So what is your motivation for completing your goals? Like, what do you tell yourself in order to complete the goals? Is it, I need to complete this amount in order to get to make this amount of money, or is I need to complete this in order to benefit this cause, or what is the motivation behind completing your goals?
I think as with most creative people, we have to be productive in some creative manner, or we get depressed, or we start to push ourselves out of our creative process. So motivation for me is a constant thing. It's I'm motivated by what I observe. I'm motivated to write, to assist others. When I blog, for example, I have a blog about service, and I want to encourage others to realize their personal best. That's a big motivation for me. Their best work out and understand how to promote their best work. And motivation to complete my own goals is that I'm, you know, artists always have this, the paint club, oh, maybe this will make it, maybe that'll make it. And it's not so much about the money for me. It's really about creating a beautiful body of work. And even if nobody reads it, at least it came from me and it's something I gave birth to. So that motivates me.
Okay. What was your proudest accomplishment?
In writing, I think just being able to be a writer and have the time now in my life to transition from being a professional musician to being a professional writer. It, because I had a lot of practice in goal setting and planning and band management and time management, transitioning from being a musician to being a writer was sort of easy in that sense. And writing is such an act of, it's a privilege to receive words. You get and receive these ideas from wherever they come from. You know, whether you are inspired by something outside of you or inside of you, I feel like it's a privilege to be creative and to be able to express myself verbally on paper. And in terms of being proud about my accomplishments, I think just being able to share my writing experiences with others is probably my proudest accomplishment.
So I wanted to leave the floor open for Corinne to ask a few questions. Corinne, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Go on ahead and feel free to open the floor up with questions or thoughts or comments that you might have.
What do you think is your biggest struggle as being a writer?
Biggest struggle is trying not to compare myself to other writers who might have better accolades in their career or better opportunities in their career. And I've started to detach myself from wanting to become, you know, the next greatest. And I think when we gear our minds toward wanting to achieve something just like so-and-so, it can keep us from realizing our authentic work. And I'm writing from my own experiences, and I'm attempting to be as authentic as possible about my writing. So I'm really trying to stay in a very zen place about the writing. And the writing happens, and it's, again, it's like a birthing process. When you create a song or a play or a book, you are really giving life to your personal experience. And sometimes I get hired to write on a specific topic, and that's okay. It's great. It's for the client. But in general, when you are doing your creative work and it's really coming from your soul, that is, you know, when it has to be, you know, very oriented from you. That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. So do you find it harder to come up with content when you're writing for a client opposed to when you're writing for a pleasure or for a personal project?
My client writing, they sometimes assign me, they'll give me the title of what they want, and they'll send me some research and SEO copy, and I'll have to, you know, contrive from there. And I find that easy. But with the creative work, I can come up with, you know, a million great titles and ideas that I think might be sellable or that other people would be interested in reading about, and I happen to be kind of an esoteric writer. I like creative fiction. I like characters that are kind of oddball. I'm not so big into like the romance novels and things like that. I like to write about people who are struggling, and everybody has a certain struggle in life and overcome those struggles. And I think it's my own life and having had a series of struggles in my life and now being able to have a much smoother time in my life as a person who is going into the last 40 years of my life, if I write about honest to my personality, then the writing is not going to be good. So I'm really trying to stay geared toward writing about struggles of others from my own struggles and from the struggles that I witness others going through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And thank you for the response as well.
I beg your pardon?
No, I was just thanking you for answering my question.
Okay. Cool. A pleasure.
So I know one thing that all writers go through that I've struggled with myself is writer's block. It's probably, I like how you describe the writing process as a birthing process, because sometimes it can be mm-hmm. agonizing. So what do you do when you struggle, or if you have struggled with writer's block?
To be honest, she taught me to just let things flow and just let things go. Keep the page and the pad and the pen available, and it will come back. Sometimes I force myself to write. It doesn't matter what it is. Just, you know, if I have a little block, I say, okay, I'll do some doodles, or I'll make up a crazy little song, and this will get this block. I've had periods where I've had amazing flow of writing. When I was, for example, with my last musical, it was like years of constant songwriting, book writing, and the flow was incredible. And you need sometimes a partner to stimulate that writing. As a solo author, I just have to keep constant, keep at it, and when the block comes, realize it's time for my mind to take a rest and to refocus and to not be afraid to pick up the pen again and go.
Right.
And that's
how
I get over it.
So do you have any upcoming projects that you're planning?
I was thinking about writing a new self-help book called Master Your Universe. And I want to gear it toward women who work independently and need coaching on how to stay focused in the work, need more confidence, things of this nature. And I'm still mapping out the outline for that one. And I am, from another perspective, I'm being published in an anthology in a few months called The Heartbreak Project. And I just got word about that this week, so I'm very happy about that. And they're going to publish some excerpts of a second part of a memoir I wrote. So that's coming up. And I've been attempting to finish, actually, Ron Howard, the director, is starting to look for screenwriters, and I have several projects that I'm semi-finished, and I'm starting to work with a new writing partner in the screenwriting area. So I'm looking forward to getting something with this new partner and pitching to Ron Howard, the director, thing, if we can get our work.
What kind of advice would you give to aspiring writers? Like, what kind of advice would you give to them?
Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you, yes. Sorry.
Yes. I said,
you're in Wisconsin, I'm in Florida.
right.
Anyway, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, I said, what kind of advice can you give to aspiring writers?
To not give up your creative work under any circumstance. You can always find an outlet for getting your writing work out into the public. remain authentic in your work, be yourself, and write about what you know without comparing your work to others. It's good to be inspired by other authors. Finding your own voice as an author is key to being successful as an author and to not give up.
Mm-hmm. What kind of advice can you give to others who want to complete their goals?
I would say that if you follow a daily and weekly to-do list, you're more apt to get your work done and more work done if you do that. A list clears your head from all of the things. You know, we can have so many ideas in our head. If we don't write down stuff we need to accomplish on a daily basis in our writing, it can smother our writing. For example, if you're writing for a client, you have to ensure that their work takes priority so you can relax when the project is over and write for yourself for a few days or a few hours if, you know, the project is done in half a day. I also advise to reward yourself upon completing your goals. Get a bowl of ice cream, get a glass of champagne, go out with some friends, step in the writing and look at the writing as something that you've completed that's positive. And remember that you and your work have value. And I think that's the best advice I can give to others who want to complete their goals.
All right. Corinne, you there? Do you have any other questions that you would like to add?
I'm here. I don't believe I have any other questions.
Okay.
I appreciate Stephanie taking the time and giving us a background on her.
Right.
Well, I want to thank you all so much.
Thank you. Was there anything else that you wanted to add?
I just want to wish all of the Real Girlfriends Across America a great week that's coming up. It's going to be positive. It's going to be soul-driven by good things to come. And may we all find peace in this trying time in America. And with organizations like Real Girlfriends Across America, I think that's very possible. So thank you for supporting writers and women across the globe.
Right.
I wish you all continued success.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, everyone. That is pretty much all for tonight. I'm going to turn it over to Corinne for announcements.
No announcements other than we appreciate everyone listening. Definitely follow us on our Instagram, RealGirlFriends7. Make sure to visit our website at realgirlfriends.org, and we appreciate everyone's support.
Right. Tomorrow we'll be discussing another awesome topic. Do you want to speak on that?
Tomorrow we are, like you said, we're talking about another awesome topic.
Okay, and again, I am Kay. I was your host for tonight, and until next time, stay safe, ladies. Good night.
Good night.
Peace out.
Thank you.